Good morning and welcome to worship. I'm actually just wondering, is Laura in for the door? No. Just, I couldn't see her and I thought, better make sure she knows the service is ready to start. Just a couple of intonations for you this morning. And a warm welcome to Robert. And a happy new year to everybody. Best wishes and good health to everybody in the coming year. So the cafe is on holiday today. However, a couple of volunteers have offered soup and tea and cakes after the service. So if you want to and you've got the time, please pop down and you'll get a hot plate of soup. Church membership. For anybody who hasn't had the opportunity to fill the wee form in to remain a member of the church, if you haven't had one, could you please see me at the end or as soon as possible, because we need to have the role completely updated before we've got a date in January. We'll have to confirm our membership before the joint session meeting on the 19th of January, and we send back the returns to Presbytery. So I know it's quite formal, but this is just the kind of paperwork we need to go through. And our groups will be starting to resume, but the main one that I wanted to bring to your attention is the Guild. For January and February, the Guild meetings are going to take place in the afternoon for those who prefer not to go to in the evenings. So you've got a wee list on your intimations there, and we're hoping that for those who weren't so keen to go out at night, I'll be keen to attend this. I mean, it's quite a social calendar there, a wee dance and Scottish afternoon and an afternoon tea. So they all look really good events. If you want to go along, you'll be made most welcome. Okay, thank you.
Good morning. And a warm welcome to everyone. And also a very happy and prosperous new year. And in case you're wondering, I managed to scale coffee down my preaching scarf. We will begin our worship this morning with our call to worship, which is a few verses from Psalm 98, which will be up on the screen. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. With trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the mountains sing together for joy. Let us worship God. Let us sing together hymn 161. O God, our help in ages past. Hymn 161.
Thank you.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Most holy God, as we who gather here this day remember your great gift of love, let us come close with reverence and with joy, knowing that in the light of this new year, your great light, the Word made flesh, will shine upon each darksome day, will shine on it with the light of mercy, the light of grace, and the light of peace. We draw closer, and in your presence, bless your holy name. God of every age, a source of insight upon the past, a source of steadiness around the present, a source of hopefulness into the future, we praise you now, we adore you now, we seek you now. We ask that into the desert places of our lives, you will pour refreshment and re-enliven our parched hearts, that we might blossom in your kindness in all the days that lie ahead. Where lives grow tired and energy is low, may the knowledge of your nearness enable us to renew our strength and in your light reflect your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, when all are distracted with the busyness of life and we feel endlessly remote from all that gives us reason to live and courage to go on, we turn to you, our brother and our friend, to speak the words of regret and fear that weigh us down and hold us back. When joy should have been our garment, we chose the sinfulness of envy. When mercy should have marked our speech, we chose the words of judgment. When gentleness should have graced our actions, we chose the harshness of the desert heat or the winter frost. Our hope is in vain unless we turn to you. So now we come, ashamed, resentful, knowing that we are broken, but finding the words that admit our failure stuck in our throats. Lord, help us to say, "Forgive me, Lord, forgive me now." We may be unworthy, but we are not unloved. Today in this new year, turn us round, reorientate our lives so that they are measured in gentleness and service, and keep your steady hand upon our shoulders in all the days to come. And in your words, we now bring our prayers together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We continue worship with hymn 81. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. Hymn number 81. And Miriam will now share the word of God with us from the Holy Bible.
The first reading today comes from Isaiah chapter 42, reading verses 5 to 9. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And the New Testament reading comes from Luke chapter 2, reading verses 21 to 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord as a physician in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with that what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the bailiffs brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phinehas of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them that the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Miriam. Hymn 530, One More Step Upon the World I Go. 530.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, we pray, speak in this place, in the calming of our minds and the longing of our hearts, by the words of my lips and in the thoughts we form. Speak, O Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. As I'm sure you know, January is named after the ancient Roman god Janus, who was the god of doorways. He was depicted as having two faces, one looking forward and one looking back. He was the god of beginnings and the god of endings. And as well as giving his name to the month, he also gives rise to the word janitor, which originally meant the keeper of doorways. And we stand at the doorway of a new year. Up and down the country, people are recovering from their New Year celebrations and getting ready to start back at work tomorrow. And in a sense, we are gathered here today as holy janitors to thank God for the year that has just passed and to pray for God's help and encouragement in the year that's just beginning. In the same way as the ancient Romans felt the need for a God of beginnings, we are gathered to pay God homage and gathered to pay homage to that God when the wheat was sown, or when the harvest began, or where a baby was born. There is, deep in our human nature, a yearning for a new beginning and a natural hope that this year will be better than last year. And in our passage from Luke's Gospel, we are told of another beginning, a beginning that was represented by the circumcision and naming of our Lord, the circumcision and naming of Jesus. The circumcision of Jewish male babies originates in Genesis 17, and it was a physical sign of God's covenant with the people of Israel. God, in that passage from the Old Testament, promised the faithful, elderly, and childless Abraham that he will be fruitful and the ancestor of nations. God's covenant is to be with Abraham's offspring down through the generations, and as a sign of that covenant, all male children were to be circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. It's a tradition that links the Jewish people of this day to Abraham and Isaac. It's an act that binds Jewish families to the multitude of generations that have preceded them and for the generations that are to follow. The eighth-day circumcision ceremony, called the Bris or Brit Milah, is also a ceremony where the child is given its name. So, in our passage from Luke's Gospel, two things happen to Jesus. He's circumcised as a sign of God's faithfulness to God's people and of his connection to Abraham and his Jewish ancestors. And he's marked out as an individual within that community by being given a name. The circumcision and naming recognised the child as part of the people of God. Luke records that in accordance with the law, Mary and Joseph presented Jesus at the temple. We are told that on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was given the name Jesus, which was the name that the angel had told them that he would be given, that that was the name that they were to give to the newborn baby when it arrived. We're also told that when the time of the purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And we are told that when this latter occurs, when Mary and Joseph were making the sacrifice, two people in the temple, an old man named Simeon and an old woman named Anna, both made prophecies about the life and work of Jesus, about what Jesus would accomplish for God in his life here on earth. Simeon was an old man who had been told that he would not die until he saw the consolation of Israel appear. And Anna, a prophetess, was 84 years old, both blessed God and the child, and made prophecies regarding them, not just to Mary and Joseph, but to the crowd in the temple as well, telling them what had happened in the birth of the baby, what was happening in his life, and what would happen throughout his life of the child who was called, as the angel had commanded, Jesus. Now, this morning, I don't want to get into the meaning of these prophecies, other than to say that both Simeon and Anna were blessed with visions, were both touched by God, and they spoke, they said what God had put into their hearts concerning the newborn child. Their words were challenging. They talked of the suffering that Jesus would endure, but they were also comforting, predicting that despite the sufferings, or perhaps because of that suffering, the Messiah would take his throne and would be a blessing, not just to the people of Israel, but to the whole world. Instead, I would like to focus on the obedience and humility of both Mary and Joseph, and how they resolutely began their life with Jesus and his life with them and with us as their followers in worship and prayer, with obedience and thanksgiving, with sacrifice and joy. It's not a bad way to begin a life. It's not a bad way to continue a life. It's a good way to begin a life. And it's a good way to begin a new year. In the first 40 days of the life of Jesus among us, Mary and Joseph did four things with and for Jesus. Four things that bound them with him closer to God and closer to the people of God and closer to one another. The first thing they did is that they named Jesus in the way that God had commanded through the angel Gabriel. They gave him the name Saviour, because through him, God would redeem, God would save his people. Mary and Joseph believed in what they had been told in their dreams and visions and obeyed. They obeyed what they had been told to do in those dreams and visions. And it joined them closer to God, closer to Jesus, and closer to one another. Sharing a vision, sharing a dream, often draws people into a closer, special bond. And living by that vision or dream creates a special community. And as we go into a new year, a year in which we as a congregation face huge changes, we must ask, what vision do we have for our future if the Presbytery plan goes through as part of the United Congregation of Carnwarth, Kirstairs and Forth? Is it one that will draw us together as the people of God in this area, or one that will divide us and hamper our mission of bringing the good news of Jesus to the people of these scattered communities? The first thing that Mary and Joseph did at the beginning of the life of Jesus was to give him the name that God had commanded that he be given. And in that ceremony, Jesus became identified as one of the children of Israel and an heir to the promises made to Abraham. He wasn't just an individual child or baby any longer, but part of a larger whole, part of a larger community, as we will be after the union. That is the second thing that Joseph and Mary did. They made Jesus a part of the family of God. They said to God, look, he's a child of promise. The baby is meant with all who call on your name to inherit your kingdom, to be part of your people. He is your servant. He's one of us. The one you gave yourself to after the time of Noah. The one you said to Abraham and to Moses would be a nation of priests and kings to serve you and bring everlasting glory to your name among all the nations, among all the people of the world. And we too must strive to be priests, to be ministers to all the people of the communities which we are called to serve, the communities of which we are part. As I said, the second thing that Mary and Joseph did with Jesus was to make him a part of the family of God. And this bound them closer to God and closer to God's people and closer to one another. It would be necessary for us to work together to make the three churches, the three congregations, one family, closer to each other, closer to God, and closer to the communities that we are called to serve. It's not a bad way to begin a life. It's not a bad way to begin a new year. It's not a bad way to live. The third thing that Mary and Joseph did was, when the time of purification was over, was to present Jesus as the firstborn to God at the temple. It was a very special thing for them to do, a thing that related to all the commands regarding things that are first that were given in the Old Testament. In Old Testament times, the firstborn, or the first part of the harvest, or the first child, was regarded as being special, as being different from the other children. Obviously, that's not a belief we have nowadays, but it's important for this part of the reading that we remember that. Each of the first fruits from gardens or fields or crops or from animals or from a family was to be dedicated to God. They were regarded as belonging to God. And God asked the people of Israel that they be presented to him where he abided, where God abided, and they were to be named as his. And Mary and Joseph followed that commandment by presenting Jesus at the temple. And in so doing, they recognised that Jesus was not just their child, but that he was God's child too, and that the purposes of his life should be, would be, determined by God. And that as parents entrusted with God's child, they should seek the wisdom and counsel of God each day, so that they might bring him up as God asked. We too are called upon to give our best, our first, with a small f, to that which is first, with a large f. We should give our first, our best, our finest, our hopes and dreams to God, for they belong to God, for God is first in our lives. So in presenting Jesus at the temple, Mary and Joseph were dedicating him to God, to God's mission and God's plan for him, how little they understood it at the time. They were told, they received a prophecy. Joseph was told that this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And Mary was told, a sword will pierce your own soul too. For that was the way of it. For the child was God's, and God would accomplish in Jesus his work, and his love would redeem his people, but not just the people of Israel, but the whole world. That is the third thing that Mary and Joseph did as they began their life with Jesus. They gave Jesus to God and recognised that God would guide him in God's own way, and in that recognition, they bound themselves to loving Jesus in accordance with the counsel of God, in accordance with the law and the vision that God gave Moses and that God gave to them. It wasn't a bad way to begin a life, and it's not a bad way to continue life, and it's not a bad way to begin a year by dedicating and rededicating ourselves to God, by making him first in our lives. After the union, if it goes ahead, a new family will be created, a new family of the people of God, a family that belongs to God, a family that will need to be given to God. I don't doubt there will be difficulties. I don't doubt that there will be disagreements, but there will be encouragement too. As with God's guidance and help, the three become one people of God. The fourth thing that Mary and Joseph did, they did on the day of presentation, was that they made a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was two doves, or pigeons, and it was given for Mary's purification after her childbirth. Two doves or pigeons doesn't sound much, but that was the sacrifice that was required of poor people like Mary and Joseph. And in making that sacrifice, they showed themselves as seekers of holiness, as ones who wanted to be holy, for what they did is set apart. The sacrifice was set apart and dedicated to God, and it was a symbol that their lives were to be set apart and dedicated to God. Their life as part of the family of God, of the people of Israel. Their life as the parents of Jesus. And dedicating ourselves to God is not a bad way to begin a life. And it's not a bad way to begin a new year. And it's not a bad way to think about the union that may be coming forward to us. Mary and Joseph did not simply begin, as they might have, with an anticipation of great and wonderful things to occur. Instead, they were warned that there would be a pain that pierces the soul. Nor did they begin with an awareness of their own poverty and inability, the kind of poverty that's represented in giving a sacrifice of two pigeons or doves, instead of a two-year-old lamb, which more prosperous families would give. It's reflected in inability of almost every new parent, indeed of most people, the inability that most people feel deep in their hearts when faced with an unknowable future and holding in their hearts at the same time the desire to do their best, to love as best they can. They began with these most assuredly, but they began in those things with God, despite their fears, despite their trepidation of the future. They walked with God, and in humble obedience to all that God had promised, to all that God had commanded, they began with God. They named their child as the angel told them. They made the one in their care part of the people of God, joined heirs with them of the promises made to Abraham and Isaac at the foundation of God's people. They gave Jesus into God's care, recognizing that he was God's and not just theirs. And they sought holiness, to live in it and by it. They set themselves, as they set Jesus, apart for God. And us, as we enter a new year, as we seek to become part of a new family, a new people of God, will we make them, will we treat them as members of God's family, as members of our own family? Will we put God first and ask for God's wisdom and guidance, setting aside petty jealousies and things like that? Will we take the best of the old and make something new, the best of the three, to make one new community, united in serving God and our neighbours? If, like Mary and Joseph, we put God first, then it's not a bad way to begin a new life as part of a new church family, not to continue it. To begin a life, to begin a new year, to become part of a new community, seeking God's will and God's love and God's direction and God's wisdom. There is a time for everything. There is a time to begin with what should always come first. Let it be our prayer that God will lead us into the future, wherever that may take us. Amen. And may God bless this preaching of his word, now and evermore. We continue with hymn 130, Ye Servants of God. 130. We worship God in the offering. Let us pray. In glad thanksgiving for your goodness, we offer you our gifts and pray for the power to offer and present our very selves to you as living sacrifices, dedicated and fit for your acceptance through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And Stephen will now lead us in our prayers for others.
Let's pray together. The collect for the day. God of power and life, you are the glory of all who believe in you. Fill the world with your splendour and show the nations the light of your truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Father, at the beginning of this new year, when we are hoping and planning for a better life, we come before you in worship and thanksgiving. We thank you for the revealing of Christ to the world and the hope that he brings. We thank you for the time of celebration of Jesus' birth that we have enjoyed, and for all the goodwill shown in this season. We thank you for our family and friends, and for the peace and hope we experience. We continue to pray for peace in our troubled world, where new conflicts seem to appear with great regularity. And we pray for those grieving loss through these conflicts or disasters. And we remember the families of those who died in the fire in Switzerland at the New Year. We ask that you bring peace and safety to the war-torn places of the world, especially Ukraine, Gaza, Sudan. We pray that the much-needed food and shelter will be quickly provided to those who are in need. And we pray also for those working to bring peace, reconciliation, hope, and healing in various places all over our world. Supply all their needs and strengthen them, we pray. Encourage them and fill them with your hope. We pray for the royal family and for those governing, whether in England, Wales, Northern Ireland or Scotland. And we also pray for all who serve in local government. With upcoming elections in mind, we pray the people you choose will be elected as MPs, MSPs, and councillors. and grant wisdom, grace, love, and vision to all who serve as our leaders, and may they serve with integrity. We pray for the leaders in our own church and those who work among our young people, that they would be filled with God's wisdom. We pray for the many who mourn through various forms of losses, and in their sorrow and loss, speak words of compassion and restoration, and bring them the blessing Jesus spoke of in his Sermon on the Mount. God our Father, bless those who are lonely, sad, fearful, or in despair. Comfort them by your Holy Spirit, and bring others alongside to help and provide a listening ear. Help us in this church, we pray, to make it a place of acceptance and belonging, a place of welcome and inclusion where all can feel at home, where they will find a listening ear, a friendly smile, and a helping hand. Strengthen our faith and confidence, we pray, to be your church and to speak powerfully in your name. Send us forth this day with your joy, with the life which is your life, and the hope that gives strength to our actions. And may we experience the power of the Holy Spirit with us in every step we take. Help us to commit ourselves to you afresh this day, and to live the life of Christ every day, showing your love in all we do and say. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen. Our final hymn before we return to the world for which we've just prayed is 236, March On, My Soul with Strength. Hymn 236. grace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, henceforth, and evermore.